Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America, and yes, I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Happy to have you on board for a Sunday morning. We'll recap some of the stakes action, not only from yesterday, but last Sunday. There were a couple of three-year-old races, as it was New Year's Day, and all the thoroughbreds had a birthday, so a couple of three-year-old races that we had. Obviously when I was doing OTV Live last Sunday afternoon, we looked at them, but I thought we would look at them and recap here because the Derby Trail is underway with some three-year-old action again last Sunday, but also we had some stakes action yesterday that included the three-year-olds as well, turf and dirt. So we'll hit on some of those, do a little handicapping, and then some news and notes. Yesterday on Racing Across America, we were joined by Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette, and we kind of went over our Eclipse ballots in anticipation of the finalists being announced a little later yesterday morning. They were, so we'll go over that list as well a little bit, give you an update on who made the finalist categories for the Eclipse Awards, which will be announced. I don't have the date. Yeah, I thought the date would be on the January 26th at 7:30. So we're, a couple of weeks away from the final announcement. And again, I mentioned it yesterday, there's a couple of categories where I'm going to be interested to see. There were some clear slam dunks, and even the finalists were right amongst the horses that Mike McAdam and I were talking about. But there'll be a few categories where I'm going to be interested to see how the votes shake out. You know, what kind of a disparity there actually is between the winner and the others. Should be noted also, I mean, we alluded to it yesterday. I don't think I explained yesterday. As voters, we have to list our top three. And Mike, as I say, alluded to it. He said, you know, you get down to the third, and does it really make a difference? And it does as far as the finalists. The top three are separated, I think, 10 points, 5 points, 1 point maybe, but whatever, they are separated point-wise, and that makes up the finalists. But for the actual Eclipse, only your top vote is counted. So again, it's a little bit of a technicality there, but it'll be fun to see, you know, how things do shake out in the three-year-old category in particular. So when I want to see where Taba and Epicenter wind up after Taba added the grade one to the resume at the end of the season. All right, again, going to do some various looks, little previews and reviews, as it were, on the day. Oh, and I didn't pull up the chart, but Coast to Coast yesterday, I had a bankroll for the bankroll team out in the clubhouse on that new Coast to Coast bet, which combines some Gulfstream and some Santa Anita. We got through the – we'll take a look at the first leg in a few minutes. That's one of the stakes at Gulfstream. I got through – and then we got through the next couple of legs. And the fourth leg was out at Santa Anita. The winner there was kind of logical. I could have had that one in the mix. But then the last leg wasn't any kind of a long shot or anything, but it wasn't a horse I really liked. So we wound up, unfortunately, we were alive through the first few legs. And just couldn't get it through. But if you had it, again, there was nothing crazy. First two winners were fairly chalky, and I want to say it paid over $1,000. It was just over $1,000, $1 minimum, but you wound up with $1,000, and I think you could have done it with a fairly reasonable ticket. So yesterday, anyway, the bet, the inaugural running of that Coast to Coast Pick 5 wager was a little bit of fun for folks, perhaps. Again, those get kind of crazy if there's something, you know, just an insane long shot in there that nobody would have had, or you would have had if you really spread out. But a day like yesterday, we can wind up with $1,000 with some logical players in the mix. Those are the kind of days that I appreciate because it spreads the wealth a little bit and people are putting that money back into the game. And so we'll see how it plays out, though, going forward. All right. Excuse me. As I said, there was some stakes action last Sunday that we obviously talked about here live when we were doing the afternoon show, but I did want to take the opportunity to highlight a little bit because it is that time of year. And so we'll look at the Mucho Macho Man, the one-turn mile down at Gulfstream last Sunday. The favorite was General Jim, the number five horse, going out for Shug. This was a horse that throughout most of the career, though, had been on the turf. General Jim's the number five horse. Shifted to the dirt, was the 2-1 favorite, wound up fourth. The number one Legacy Isle, you can see the chicklets there. Legacy Isle is going to float out a little bit here and wind up getting disqualified. The eventual winner will be number four, Dreaming of Kona. Number 10, Lord Miles, runs third and stays third even after the DQ. But again, Legacy Isle, you can see floating out here and kind of impeding the four a little bit. If you see the head on it, it was a legit DQ, I think. So Legacy Isle comes under the wire first, but things get flip-flopped, and that one winds up second. But again, given the performances, and there you can see the head on, you can see the horse come out here and kind of impede the four. It's pretty much on the rail here, and it's going to wind up, what, out three or four paths, as it were, and given the margin of victory at the end. You know, it wasn't necessary. The second time is where it wasn't egregious early, but then things kind of simmered down and then came out a second time, and that was probably more the reason for the DQ. But given those two now, I think are worth watching, maybe even the third place finish, and we'll see what they do going forward with General Jim. You know, it's that time of year. Again, General Jim had run nicely on the turf, but it's that time of year where, particularly, you know, first of the year, hey, let's take the shot on the dirt. If we have a dirt runner, we will move forward. So no arguments with them taking the shot, but you wonder if they'll go back to the turf with General Jim. Legacy Isle, a couple of starts going into last weekend. There were a couple of nice wins. Broke the maiden back in September very nicely, then followed that up in November with an optional claim or non-winners of two victory, both by Daylight. And so Legacy Isle, despite the DQ, you would think one to watch going forward. And again, the eventual winner was Dreaming of Kona, who also was coming off of a couple of starts so far. Maiden breaker at Presque Isle on the synthetic, but then went down to Tampa and was in the inaugural stakes and ran third behind Super Chow, who's a nice little sprinter. So Dreaming of Kona now has kind of stamped himself as maybe one to watch, stretching out to the mile and getting moved up on the DQ at 19-1 for Dreaming of Kona. So nice performance, again, by both of the top two, and probably worth watching a little bit moving forward for them. Also on Sunday last week, there was a nice three-year-old stakes race kicking off the trail down in Arkansas at Oaklawn. The Smarty Jones for the three-year-olds, $250,000 up for grabs. They also went a mile, but at Oaklawn, it's a one-turn mile. And the favorite here got it done, and got it done pretty nicely. Victory formation for Brad Cox. Two for two coming in. Took the action at 3-5. Angel of Empire runs second at 18-1. Dennington, who I found a little bit interesting, runs third at 6-1. But clearly best in here was Victory Formation. The chart margin is 3 lengths. And again, went off at 3-5. Betting public liked that one. Spendthrift, Frank Fletcher and company, Brad Cox trains. Flavian Pratt was in for the ride and did it pretty nicely. Now 3-3, a son of Tappet. We'll see where Brad Cox goes with this one, because the horse is working and based with Brad Cox. I think Brad Cox himself is pretty much down at Fairgrounds this time of year, and this one was at the Fairgrounds base. And I think a lot of times these Fairgrounds Oaklawn winners will bounce back and forth and pick their spots between Fairgrounds and Oaklawn. So we'll see. I didn't see anything after the race confirming where this one might go next, but we will watch, because that was a nice performance. Again, now 3-3 in the career for Victory Formation. All right, let's go back to yesterday, and we'll kick off the three-year-old trail in New York with the Jerome. The one-turn mile there. I liked Arctic Arrogance. There was a few nice New York breds in the field, and Arctic Arrogance came in with a record of 2 wins, 2 seconds, and one of those seconds was last time out in the Remsen. So stepped out of State Bred Company, where he'd been very successful, and ran a close-up second in the graded Remsen. So Arctic Arrogance, even as a New York bred, looked very good to me yesterday. Lugan Knight I had in the mix, and maybe I should have moved that one up. Why? Ran third down at Churchill in the previous start behind Victory Formation, who we just saw win the stake last week at Oaklawn. And so I suppose Victory Formation flattered Lugan Knight a little bit. Our colleague Anthony Marmino liked Lugan Knight on Handicapper Support yesterday. And Lugan Knight, the number four horse at 7-2, gets it done. Under Dylan Davis, wins by half a length. Arctic Arrogance, the number six, runs very well, though. This is a nice little stretch battle. It'll wind up being about half a length under the wire. General Banker, another New York bred, runs third in there. Neural Network, who took a little action for Chad Brown in the second career start, winds up running fourth. But it was the top two who kind of acquitted themselves nicely, and it'll be interesting to watch going forward. Again, really, really nice little New York bred for Chester and Mary Broman and Arctic Arrogance, who fought all the way. But Lugan Knight pulls away a little bit, coming in from three starts so far down in Kentucky. And again, the third place finish last time behind Victory Formation was the one that maybe flattered the horse and touted Lugan Knight yesterday. And you got $9 and change there, but we'll watch them going forward. Now again, on the three-year-old trail. And again, you in New York, you always have to kind of be curious as to where they wind up, because Lugan Knight, based down in Kentucky, and the New York trail trainers seem a little picky about it, I think based on weather a lot with the three-year-old trail. And so if you have a horse who does well in the Jerome, I think, particularly if you're based down in Kentucky, I think you may be looking in a lot of different directions. So we'll see that where they go. You would think Arctic Arrogance, however, being New York-based and New York-bred, they have all kinds of options with him. But you would think the New York trail may be the direction they will go. Also yesterday at Aqueduct was the Queens County. Law Professor was kind of the logical favorite in here. I had that one right underneath. Came out of a try, a fifth-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile behind Cody's Wish and Cyberknife, but had run second prior to that in the Woodward. Had won a little stake at Kentucky Downs before that. Rob Attris, who's on a little bit of a roll. So there were plenty of things to like about Law Professor. Goes off at even money and lives up to it. Naval Aviator was a little bit interesting as a horse that at a price 32-1 I had in my mix. Gets up for second. Thomas Shelby runs third in here. I liked Unbridled Bomber. I know some other folks did too. Went off as a second choice. I went disappointed running seventh, but nobody was getting to this winner. Law Professor, the number seven at even money. You can see running there to a 7.5 length victory in the Queens County yesterday. And, you know, doing it pretty easily in the Queens County. So there were a couple of stakes yesterday at Aqueduct. Moving now to Gulfstream. I mentioned it quite a bit, talked a little bit about it yesterday as we handicapped this program. I love the three-year-olds on turf. I think it's a great subdivision that goes all year long with nice stakes at the various venues, and kind of kicked things off down in Florida yesterday with the Dania Beach, the three-year-olds on turf. I liked Worthington, fourth career start for Michael Maker. Luis Saez was on board. Worthington is going to be the number seven horse. Seemed to be moving in the right direction. I went with that one at 7-2. Major Dude, the number two, the Pletcher runner coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, was the even money favorite. But the number one candidate at 7-1, Tyler Gaffleone on board, winds up to be the coast-to-coast winner, again, at a 7-1 price. And candidate stamps himself as one to watch in this subdivision I like quite a bit, because this was Career start number 4, career victory number 3. All three of the victories were on turf. The career debut was an off-the-turf event, ran 7th there. But since getting to the surface they wanted, they're 3-for-3. And again, that was a nice-looking victory yesterday down at Gulfstream for Candidate. So Worthington winds up 3rd in the stakes debut, so he'll be one to watch. And again, Major Dude, the favorite for Pletcher. Nice late run, winds up 2nd. He'll be a player, you would think, in this division going forward as well. So I thought the Dania Beach played out very nicely to kind of kickoff in Florida, that 3-year-old turf scene. We shall see how that proceeds moving forward. As I say, that goes all year long. You know, you get up to Saratoga, you get the Hall of Fame for the 3-year-olds on turf. It's a lot of fun. The 3-year-old ladies faced off on the turf in the Ginger Brew a little bit later on, and I alluded to this earlier. This was the kickoff leg to our bankroll pick 5 play, and I had put 3 tickets together. I had a couple of smaller ones, and one I used a couple of different horses. But my big major ticket singled the 3 to kick off that pick 5. The 3 was Cairo Consort, who was coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, running 3rd behind Meditate and Pleasant Passage. Had a little traffic in there, but just looked to have maybe an edge on this field. So I singled the 3, and I had to sweat it out. Right here, I think, oh, we're going to go. And then I thought, oh, the horse is flattening out. And then all of a sudden, nope, got the momentum. But just as I get the momentum, the 5 horse also gets the momentum. And this gets close with Stephanie's Charm. Yeah, and I just got it done. Pete Aiello said Cairo Consort had to work for it, and he wasn't kidding. But we did get through that first leg, as I said, a little bit later on at Santa Anita. Unfortunately, we did not have the last couple. One to me was very playable. One was not crazy, but I wouldn't have used it, so I didn't feel horrible there. But we got through that first leg with the horse that on our really big ticket we had singled. That always feels good, but had to sweat it out a little bit down there. But Cairo Consort on the 3-year-old filly side on the turf will certainly be worth watching going forward. The Todd Pletcher runner had come in with 6 starts, a couple of wins the 2nd, and a couple of 3rds, and now adds a nice little stakes win as well. Had won a stake earlier up at Woodbine. And this also, there was a little story here. Won the stake up at Woodbine, and most of the early career was at Woodbine, and then ran 3rd in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, and then moved to the Pletcher Barn. Had been another barn for another owner, but Mike Rapoli and company reached out after the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, purchased this one, and that's what you like to see if you buy a racehorse like this. First time out of the barn with the new silks, gets it done in a stakes race. And again, I think she'll be one to watch, you know, kind of going forward in that subdivision of the 3-year-old fillies on the turf. I didn't call for a replay, but just yesterday at Oaklawn in the Pippin, it was a lovely ride getting it done. Robertina Diodoro had won the Mistletoe back at the beginning of the meet at Oaklawn. Follows it up yesterday. Got away a little bit of value there, given the horse was coming out of a stakes win. He got $8 and change. Lotta Vita, the horse I put on top, was the favorite at 5-2 and wound up 3rd. Ice Orchid ran 2nd, but lovely ride for Robertina Diodoro, who hit a career milestone yesterday, earlier on the card yesterday at Oaklawn. He got career victory number 3,000. They interviewed him. Nancy Holthus interviewed him in the winner's circle afterwards. And, you know, he reflected on it and talked about it was nice to get it done at Oaklawn. And so, again, Robertina Diodoro, who we've had on with us at Saratoga a few times, career milestone, 3,000th victory. That's certainly a very, very nice achievement. And then has the stakes race as well. So it was a nice day for Mr. Diodoro yesterday at Oaklawn. Hopefully it was a nice day for you as well. And we will try to make today a nice day as well by taking a break. And when we come back, we'll jump in and do a little bit of handicapping for a Sunday afternoon. See if we can toss out some ideas there. Otherwise, I will invite you to stay tuned because a little bit later on, again, the finalists have come out for the Eclipse Awards. We'll talk about that as well. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon at Aqueduct. Well, let's take a look at the late pick five. And again, we won't put a ticket together. We don't have any scratches or changes yet, but we'll toss out some ideas. The late pick five today at Aqueduct kicks off about 20 after 2, and it will kick off with race number 5. I have a 2, 1, 5, and 6, It's one of those where I really debated about the Chad Brown Klarovich horse, particularly at 6-1 on the morning line and may escape. I wouldn't argue anybody off of that, particularly if you're playing the pick five. I did not use pricing power, the 3, because the career debut showed some punch before fading. I wouldn't be surprised to see that one improve. More I'm looking at, if you look up the board and that morning line is holding up and you get Chad Klarovich, second-time starter, who is eligible to improve, and you're seeing a 6-1, or even if it got down to 4, don't ignore. But I went with American Law, who comes in good form for Danny Gargan. This horse has had 10 tries and hasn't gotten it done, so a little bit of a bridesmaid with 6 seconds and 2/3. But 3 of those seconds were in the last 3 starts. 2 of those were last spring. The last was at a comeback effort in November, and it was a just-missed effort there with a lifetime best buyer number. So maybe this horse is a little bit better coming back. Still, that second-place finish does kind of indicate still stuck maybe in that bridesmaid, you know, camera-shy kind of a scenario. But I'll look for this one in the second start back to maybe break through. Magical Ways for Bill Mott is lightly raced. Another one that improved last time with the number, adds the blinkers today. And being lightly raced and on the improve, they paid a lot of money for this horse at a 2-year-old sale a couple of years ago. Then had a belated debut because didn't get to the races until November. But I think this one may be moving in the right direction. And Vodka Martini in the 3rd spot for Linda Rice on a best effort certainly fits in with this group. So in the 5th at Aqueduct, 2-1, 5, and 6. 6th race today, and this will kick off a late pick 4 also. Optional state bred optional claimers, non-winners of 2. 2, 6, 4, and 3, Ruby's in Time, going out for David Jacobson, the apprentice on board. I wasn't thrilled with this one, but 2nd off the claim, ran okay off the claim. I just thought overall, consistently, this one is kind of throwing numbers that are maybe a smidge above this bunch. But again, not totally convinced. I certainly would look to add to the ticket if you're playing the pick plays. Rebo's Valentine, going out for our friends at Blue Streak Racing. Costing a little bit of a clunker last time is the favorite off a really nice race 2 starts back. I'm kind of feeling like that race 2 back is a little more like what we'll get, because consistently that seems to be the horse consistently seems to be better than what we saw last time. Let me put it that way. So I'll look for a rebound there. Third spot, Karamoka, who comes off a nice win in the non-winter. So one condition, took a while to get through that. So is this horse going to, has the light bulb gone on and this horse now appreciates and moves through this condition quickly, or are we stuck here for a while as well? I certainly think the horse is a player. I didn't put Valleluia in the mix, but I mentioned Rebo's Valentine with some local or local native connections, and Valleluia, owned by that East Avenue Racing Group, some folks who came together during the pandemic and formed the partnership and had the really fun win about the middle of the meet up at Saratoga this year for trainer Robbie Davis, and his daughter Jackie was on board, and the folks in the partnership were enjoying the victory in the winner's circle, and deservedly so. So again, I didn't use Valleluia, but we will root for that one. In the sixth at Aqueduct, 2, 6, 4, and 3. Race number 7 at Aqueduct this afternoon. I have it 6, 7, 5, and 4. The Fusky Island on top. Nice win last time on the front end. There was a voided claim. I'm always concerned about that because there's the last was an October start. Before that was July. So the horse has kind of had a couple of gaps recently. But given what we saw last time, I tilted slightly in that direction with question marks. And again, it was a voided claim. I will say that. It was a voided claim. And again, we don't know what the circumstances were. But they come back in an allowance event. So there is certainly some confidence that this would be a little more questionable if, you know, there was a voided claim for $35,000 and they came back for a $15,000 tag. Coming back in the allowance condition is a little more palatable. Safalo's Mission in the second slot came back from a long layoff last time, closed nicely to finish second. If this horse benefits from that one, fitness-wise, is very interesting today. And Writer's Regret, another one that maybe this year anyway, I mean, throughout the career has four wins, but last year, let me put it that way, the just finished year, 8 starts with 1 win, 5 seconds, and a third. So another one that maybe is in a little bit of a bridesmaid situation, a little bit camera shy. A lot of those races were also up at the Finger Lakes, but has run well going back about a year here at Aqueduct. So Writer's Regret, I think, could be a player as well in the 7th at Aqueduct. 6, 7, 5, and 4. We'll have some stakes action in race number 8 today at Aqueduct. The Say Florida Sandy, $100,000 up for grabs for the 4-year-olds and up. Again, state breds, 7 furlongs the trip, 5, 4, and 2 for me in a small 5-horse field. Bankett, though, goes out for Steve Asmussen, Winchell Racing and Company. 8 wins and 36 starts, 11 seconds. So this is a horse that hits the exacta much more than half the time. And that included last time in the New York Stallion Series. A nice win there with a solid buyer number. You go down the page, the numbers are very good. That said, I think this one and What Do You Think Now are kind of comparable on best efforts. And they're both coming out of stakes wins. You know, New York Stallion Series for Bankett and the Alex Robb for What Do You Think Now. I just tilted a little bit towards Bankett. It's hard to separate, particularly given a short field and the early speed from What Do You Think Now, and looking at Aqueduct races over the past few days. In this short field with the speed, the morning line favorite is What Do You Think Now by a smidge, 9-5 versus 2-1. David Aragona may not only wind up being right on the odds, the odds may reflect how the race plays out. The early speed may be a little more dangerous than I'm giving credit for What Do You Think. Well, I'm giving it credit. I just tilted towards Bankett. I thought that one may be a smidge more intriguing to me. In the 8th at Aqueduct, 5, 4, and 2. Race number 9 at Aqueduct, Maiden Claimers going 7 furlongs. I have it 7, 1, 8, and 2. I'll put Super Quality on top. Goes out for Rob Atrus again. He's on a little bit of a roll right now, it seems like, so you got to kind of ride those. That said, this is another one of those that has had plenty of opportunities and hasn't gotten it done. 8 starts, 3 seconds, including last time, though. But does have that early speed that, as I have said, seems to have been potent the last few days down at Aqueduct. So I thought super quality was intriguing to maybe break through in career start number 9. More lightly raced and last seen about a year ago, but last seen down at the fairgrounds. So comes up to New York for Tom Morley. That's number 1, Downtown Connector. Steps out of maiden special company again when last seen at fairgrounds. Didn't show a whole lot there. Number-wise, though, is going to match up nicely with this group. Comes back at a much reduced level, the maiden tag. The workouts are, they're okay. A couple of them look like the horse probably comes back ready, and if so, could be intriguing in here. And Chico Tico in the 3rd spot. I'm going to draw a line through the last race. That was in July at Saratoga. Now comes back with a first-time gelding symbol. And I'm kind of drawing a line through the last one. A, it was 1 mile and 1/8, and I think the 7 furlongs may be a little bit better. But B, it was a maiden special. And we go 2 starts back to a maiden claimer. This horse seemed to flourish in that kind of company and now makes the comeback for an even reduced rate today. So Chico Tico looks very, very playable in here as well. The 9th at Aqueduct, 7-1, 8-2. So there you go. There's some ideas in the late pick 5 at Aqueduct. Again, it wasn't a ticket or anything because I haven't looked at scratches yet. That will potentially change things up. But there are some ideas at Aqueduct for this afternoon. We will certainly have live looks as we come back in a little over an hour or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. So we'll have things updated by then with scratches and changes. We'll look at some Gulfstream and some Oaklawn as well for today on the afternoon program. Otherwise, we'll take a break. When we come back, as promised, some news and notes, including those Eclipse finalists for the year 2022. I don't think, particularly given what Mike McAdam and I talked about yesterday, I don't think there are any real surprises because pretty much where we were is where the rest of the voters seem to go as well. But we will line you up with how things shook out yesterday with the announcement. And again, in a couple of weeks, they will announce the actual winners. So looking forward to that as well. But we'll tell you who the finalists are and give you some more news and notes when we come back and continue on Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
Welcome back. Seth Merrill in the studio on a Sunday morning. And again, yesterday morning, the Eclipse finalists were announced. The actual ceremony, January 26th, 7:30, the Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida, where the winners will be announced. So we're a couple of weeks away, a little less than a couple of weeks away from that. Of 258 eligible voters, represented by the NTRA, consisting of member track officials, Equibase field personnel, along with the NTWAB, that's how I vote, the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Association, and the Daily Racing Forum. 246 took part in the voting. A little over 95% of the eligible voters voted. The finalists were determined in each category. I explained this earlier, each category using a 10-5-1 point basis. So everybody that votes has to list their top three. That decides the finalists, but the Eclipse Award winners, as noted in this article, determined solely by the first place votes. And I imagine they do that just in case there was a unanimous selection. You know, some, and this year it would surprise me in a couple of the categories. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any finalists. So I think that's why they do it in this particular fashion. But given that the two-year-old male finalists, Forte, no surprise, and I think Forte is going to be the winner, and it's a slam dunk, but Cave Rock and Victoria Road, those are the three finalists. I had Forte, Cave Rock, and Instant Coffee. Victoria Road may be a little bit surprised, but again, Forte is going to be the slam dunk. But Victoria Road won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Aiden O'Brien, Ryan Moore was on board. For this one, you know, for the European to get selected, I found a little bit surprising. But again, what a Breeders' Cup race. If somebody was plugging that one into the third, I think when the vote totals are shown, it will be that one was, you know, down in the third place position pretty significantly. And I think Cave Rock will be significantly behind Forte. Again, I think Forte going to be a slam dunk. So no surprises there. In the two-year-old filly category, Wonder Wheel, Meditate, and Leave No Trace. I went Wonder Wheel, Who's Your Filly, and Chocolate Gelato. So And I think Wonder Wheel is going to be, again, a slam dunk. I did not use those others. I don't really have any arguments. Meditate won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf. And again, given that we saw Victoria Road scored, I guess voters were giving. And Mike McAdam mentioned it yesterday, and I'm in the same boat. To me, the Breeders' Cup isn't the be-all, end-all. I think it carries more weight maybe than other races during the year. But the voters seem to be giving some weight, certainly in these two-year-old categories, at least as far as finalists are concerned with Victoria Road and Meditate. But again, I don't have a big argument with that. And Leave No Trace being the other finalist. And I don't have an argument with that either. This is the horse that won the Spinaway at a 14-1 price for Phil Serpy. So nice to see the Phil Serpy runner get some recognition and be a finalist and allow the connections to go down and enjoy the evening and sit in the crowd. But again, I think Wonder Wheel likely the runaway winner there. The category that I mentioned a few times, talked about yesterday, that I'm really intrigued to see what the vote totals wind up to be. Three-year-old male. I had the three finalists, Epicenter, Taba, and Modern Games. I was intrigued to see if Modern Games was going to make it because it seems like over the past week or so, as I've heard people talk about their ballots, Epicenter and Taba were clearly on the ballot. But in that third spot, a lot of people were talking about Cyberknife. But I thought Modern Games with the two wins against Older in the Woodbine Mile and the Breeders' Cup Mile deserved to be in the conversation. I think Epicenter is going to wind up being the winner. And as we were talking yesterday again with Mike McAdam, he said it and I thought so too. I just thought the body of work for Epicenter kind of labeled him as the best three-year-old last year. That said, Taba, with the win in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby, and the Grade 1 Malibu, certainly, you know, deserved to be in the conversation as well. You put three Grade 1s on the resume. Now, at least a couple of those, how strong were they? Well, but again, start of the year to finish of the year. Drawing a line through the Breeders' Cup Classic, I did think Epicenter was the best three-year-old. But again, I'm going to be very interested to see how the votes shake out. I want to see how far apart Epicenter and Taba are. I do think Epicenter will wind up the winner, but I'm going to be interested to see how far apart they are as far as the voting is. Three-year-old filly, again, no real surprise here. Nest, Secret Oath, and Tuesday, I had it Nest, Secret Oath, and Society. But again, it seems like the voters were giving consideration in these, at least, you know, in this 1-2-3 finalist kind of voting to Breeders' Cup races. Tuesday, the winner of the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Turf. Again, an Aidan O'Brien European transplant. So I don't have any real argument with that because, once again, I think the slam dunk winner will clearly be Nest in here. Older dirt male, yeah, that, again, no surprise. And as I say, this is the category where maybe the 1-2-3 voting rules play out because I think Flightline will clearly be the winner and maybe sweep it. That said, some voters may look at the three-race resume and have gone in another direction, but the three logicals, the three that I had on my ballot as well, Flightline, Life is Good, and Olympiad. Flightline, obviously, the big win in the Met Mile, the big win in the Pacific Classic, and the big win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. It was just, you know, a once-in-a-generation kind of horse, and another one of the slam dunks on the ballot, and in fact, perhaps the slam dunk on the ballot. But Olympiad, solid year for Olympiad. We saw him up here at Saratoga in a very nice win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. The Bill Mott trainee put together a very solid season with six wins in eight starts. And Life is Good for Todd Pletcher. Also a nice season with four wins in six starts. And we saw that one win up at Saratoga as well. Life is Good winning the Whitney. So we didn't get to see Flightline at Saratoga, but we saw a couple of the other very, very talented older males up there in Life is Good and Olympiad. Older dirt female, again, I think this one is going to be kind of a slam dunk. I had these three on my ballot. It's Malathat, Goodnight Olive, and Clairiere. Goodnight Olive, again, I think with the Breeders' Cup victory and a 4-for-4 record, probably slid in the third spot on a lot of people's ballots. Malathat, four wins, couple of seconds, and six starts, but most importantly, that really fun and close victory in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. She's going to be, again, the kind of the slam dunk winner in there. But I like that people put Clairiere on. I like Clairiere all year long. Steve Asmussen and Stone Street, three wins, a second and a third in six starts last year, including being in that scrum under the wire with Blue Stripe and Malathat in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. I thought she had a very nice year as well. So no arguments with the three finalists there. And as I say, I think Malathat clearly the victor. One of the categories that for me was a little bit of a puzzler. The male sprinter. I went Cody's Wish, Jackie's Warrior, Gunite. But the eventual finalists, Cody's Wish, Jackie's Warrior, and Elite Power. Mike McAdam had talked about Elite Power yesterday, and I don't have any arguments there. The Belmont runner ended the season with a win in the Vosburgh, and more importantly, the win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And it was a division where I don't think anybody was absolutely jumping off the page. So if people looked at those last two stakes and tilted towards the Breeders' Cup Sprint, we'll see. I put Cody's Wish on top. This is one where I'm not sure, even looking at the finalists, where it's going, because I could see the voters going for Elite Power, giving that Breeders' Cup Sprint a little more juice in and amongst this particular bunch this year. Cody's Wish, four wins in five starts. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, you know, obviously a good story being tied into the young man. And I will admit, I am not really a strong believer in the mile as a sprint distance. Now, if a bona fide sprinter tosses in a mile, that's something. But Cody's Wish this year, three of the wins were at a mile. I did look at the forego, though, up at Saratoga at 7 furlongs. A nice win there over Jackie's Warrior, and I kind of gave that. Again, this was a little bit of a puzzler for me. So I'm going to be interested to see how it shakes out. Again, I had a couple of the finalists They seem logical, but I'll be interested to see where the betting, where the voting group went. I was going to say betting public. I'll be interested to see if that played out too. But because, as I say, elite power with the Breeders' Cup Sprint victory may have attracted some real attention there. Female sprint candidates, that one a little more of, I think, a known quantity, because I think Goodnight Olive will take that, having gone 4-for-4, won the Ballerina up at Saratoga, and then winds up winning the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. But it does turn out to be Goodnight Olive, Caravelle, and Echo Zulu. I had a couple of those. I had Goodnight Olive, Caravelle, and Matarea. But Echo Zulu, certainly, I don't argue with that one. Again, you get down to the second and third spot, a little hard to predict. But Echo Zulu wound up second to Goodnight Olive in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. So, again, no real argument there. And I particularly, again, as I think Goodnight Olive will wind up to be the one, so to speak. Male turf horses. This, for me, was another category where I was kind of looking around, but I wound up giving it to Modern Games. Male turf horses, the finalists, Modern Games, Nation's Pride, and Rebels Romance. I had two of those in there. I had it Modern Games, Rebels Romance, and I put Annapolis third, but the voters went for a Nation's Pride amongst the finalists, and I don't have a real argument there. Nation's Pride had a nice season as well, won the Saratoga Derby and won the Jockey Club Derby Invitational down at Aqueduct as well. So, but and another one where, as I say, I kind of looked and I was debating where to go here. It seems like I kind of feel, given the finalists, it's probably going to tilt towards Modern Games. I think people will agree with me. That said, Rebels Romance, having won the Breeders' Cup Turf, I wouldn't be shocked to see that one wind up to be the winner. So that's a category that may be a little fun to kind of take a look at on January 26th when those winners are announced. The category that, to me, is really going to be fun to look at, because I said yesterday with Mike McAdam, in the female turf, I had it Warlike Goddess, Tuesday, and In Italian. I think for a lot of voters, it may come down to In Italian and Regal Glory, however. I went with Warlike Goddess. I like that she stepped out of her category, beat the boys in the Turf Classic, tried the boys in the Breeders' Cup Turf. I gave some credit to that. Excuse me. The actual finalists, Warlike Goddess, In Italian, and Regal Glory. So it wound up to be the three that I thought were intriguing, and it won't shock me at all if the voters go with one of the Chad horses in here. I'll be interested to see how it shakes out, not just amongst these three, but amongst the two Chad horses, who is going to get the most juice amongst the voters. This is the category, to me, that is the most up in the air, looking at the finalists, and even before that, for the night where they're going to announce the winners. Really intrigued to see how the female turf horse turns out. On the human side of things, trainer Steve Asmussen, Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher. I had Chad barely over Todd, and I put Bill Mott had a fun year, so I put Bill Mott on there. But this is a category where I could have gone either way with the top two. Interested to see how that's going to shake out. As far as jockeys, I think it's going to be Irad Ortiz getting it done. But the finalists, Irad Ortiz, Flavian Pratt, and Joel Rosario there. So, again, there are your finalists. They were announced yesterday. The winners will be announced on January 26th down in Florida. So looking forward to that. And as I say, most of the categories, I think, you can make a pretty good prediction who the winner's going to be. You could have done it before they announced the finalists in most of those categories, but there are two or three that I think are going to be a lot of fun, including on the human side. The trainers, I think, going to be fun, but certainly that female turf, the male sprinter. So a little bit of intrigue a couple of weeks away when those Eclipse Awards are announced. All right, I'm just going to take a quick break and come back and wrap things up for this Sunday morning Racing Across America. So Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. Yeah. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. If you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything that I ever dreamed of.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Just wrapping things up here. We mentioned it yesterday, going back to Friday, Manny Franco, 6-7, six wins down at Aqueduct. That ties a record. And I did want to bring up Dave Grenick had an article in the Racing Forum that noted the other jocks that have done it. Franco becomes the 18th jockey to win six races on one card at NYRA. The list is kind of fun to look at. It includes Steve Coffin, who won six on a day three times. Ramon Dominguez, three times, six winners on a card. Mike Smith did it twice. Ron Turcotte did it twice. Dylan Davis did it twice. And Bill Shoemaker, amongst others. George Velasquez won six races on July 9th, 1981. With six mounts, I wonder if the last race the trainers were kind of scrambling around. Hey, can we switch things? Although maybe he rode in the last race, but he went 6-6, so that's notable as well. But congratulations to Manny Franco. Joins a kind of an elite list there with the nice six-win day. And he had a nice day yesterday as well. So Manny Franco certainly on a little bit of a roll. Total handle in 2022 at the NYRA tracks dropped slightly, 2.2%. That said, there were less races and less days. Last year, as compared to the year before, there was 196 race dates last year, 201 going back to 2021. There were about, 32 more races, 1855 versus 1887. That means the average daily handle was actually up a little bit because there was reduced dates. So, again, that went down just slightly there. But you look at the dates and then it puts it in context a little bit as the daily handle was actually a little bit better. Speaking of handle, the yearly figures, the national yearly figures came out via Equibase a few days ago. 2022 versus 2021, wagering was down less than 1%. It was down minus 0.87%. So things pretty much stayed even 2022 versus 2021. The race days increased less than 1%. They were up a little bit. Purses last year up almost 11%. That's a pretty good increase in purse size. You would have to wonder how much Kentucky Downs played into that. The races were down just a fraction of a point. Number of starts was down just over 1%. Average field size down just about 1%. So everything kind of moved marginally, very small fractionally other than purse size, which went up significantly last year, as I say, 11%. So good numbers there. And we did mention this yesterday. I'll just reiterate for folks who maybe weren't tuned in yesterday. I want to applaud our colleague and local, Tom Law, for winning an Eclipse Award last year. The 2022 Eclipse winners in the media categories were announced a couple of days ago. Tom Law wins, wrote an article, Big Tally, that ran in the Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred last July. Photography, it was Wendy Woolley who had a shot of Rich Strike in the stakes race towards the end of the year. Nice shot. You can find it online. Nice shot of Rich Strike in the stakes race down in Churchill towards the end of the year. Tim Layden, who started the career of the Times Union. So there are local connections there as well, but now writing for NBCSports.com. He wound up with a writing award as well. Live television programming went to the Breeders' Cup on NBC. Feature television programming also went to NBC. But in the audio multimedia category, it was our friend Mike Penna from the Horse Racing Radio Network, who for a while, you know, when we were doing the weekday show, he was kind of a regular. I got to reach out to Mike and pulling him in at some point again, maybe have him on, congratulate him on the Eclipse Award. But Horse Racing Radio Network won for their coverage of the Breeders' Cup. So, again, congratulations to Mike. Congratulations certainly to Tom, our friend Tom Law, one of the folks that we have on regularly up at Saratoga as part of the Saratoga Special team with the Clancy Brothers as well. So congratulations to Tom and the rest of the winners of this year's Media Eclipse Awards. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio. Sunday afternoon racing, 12:10. We'll kick things off at Gulfstream, 12:20 at Aqueduct. So should be getting to the pregame show within the next half hour or so down in New York. We'll pick that up. I will come on after that and start handicapping for the afternoon. Again, I'll look at some Aqueduct and some Gulfstream, and I also always like to throw some Oaklawn into the mix as well. Speaking of Gulfstream, we want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of some of the programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout their championship meet, which continues now through the early part of April and Florida Derby weekend. We will be down there for the Florida Derby. Really looking forward to that. But we do want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Otherwise, Seth Merrill in the studio. Appreciate you tuning in and enjoying the program this morning. We will be back, as I say, in an hour or so, a little less than an hour maybe, with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. So stay tuned. Let's get lucky. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.